Spring has sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
You're listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show, The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
802 on ESPN 97.5.
Tell that story, the picture, first.
Ryan Fitzpatrick. And,
who is a quarterback for Washington.
Is that his son? It might be.
No. That kid's like 20-something. Fitzpatrick is 39. Unless he had the kid when he was before college. Yeah. Right.
It might be, or he could be in high school. I don't know. He could have a high schooler.
Nah.
How old is Ryan?
Well, he does have Tate Fitzpatrick, Brady Fitzpatrick, Maisie Fitzpatrick, Lucy Fitzpatrick, Zoe Fitzpatrick, Ruby Fitzpatrick, and Jake Fitzpatrick. How in the world are we not? I was never aware of this. There's no chance you were either. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 kids. Everyone's like, Phillip Rivers and the kids and Phillip Rivers. And Ryan Fitzpatrick's like under the radar. I got 7 kids and no one says
7
anything.
By 1? Is he a 7 by 1 guy?
I don't know.
Somebody
needs to add him.
He's in the stands in Buffalo, 0-degree weather with no shirt on. He and the kid. I don't know who the kid is. How old is his oldest? Doesn't say.
I mean, I don't know. I have to look now all of a sudden.
Remember he had a kid who
Ryan
was a brainiac.
Fitzpatrick proposed to his wife at a gas station.
Congratulations.
They have 7 kids together. Brady's 12. That's his oldest.
Yeah, this kid's
older. Oh, my gosh. He has been doing some damage to that woman. Look at this. His kids are his kids are 12. Ready for this? His kids are like 12, 10, 8, 6, 4, and 2.
Wow.
But Fitzpatrick now looks as if he's trying to challenge Phillip Rivers for league-leading children. 8. Everyone knows about Phillip Rivers' kids. I had no idea that Ryan Fitzpatrick had 7 kids.
Mm-mm.
And that he's had 7 of them in the last 12 years.
I think one of them has been born in a different state, too.
Let that woman recover.
Because he was, of course they were. Everyone was born in a different state?
Yeah.
I think so. I read somewhere.
It would have to be, because he went from team to team every year.
Yeah.
Oh, it's unbelievable. Did you see the fight outside the Cowboy game last night after the game?
Oh, no, I need to see
it. It's typical.
I just haven't looked for it.
It's typical.
Is it classic Cowboy fight?
Oh, my gosh. I mean, Cowboy fan is the worst fan. Dodger fan or Cowboy fan?
Oh, man. Why are you throwing? Why can't 49ers fan get a little piece of this action?
Well, that is true.
They will murder.
They do.
They will murder. Oh, so yeah. Will Dodgers fans will murder.
Well, San Francisco Giant fan.
Well, California
fan is the worst.
I mean, California fan is the most dangerous fan.
But Dallas Cowboy fan?
Dallas Cowboy fan's not great.
No.
It's not great. By the way, to finish this, Ryan Fitzpatrick was up with Bills Mafia at the game, shirtless. The weather was, what, 10?
No, less.
He has 3 degrees. He has no shirt on, a beanie on. He's flexing in this picture with somebody else taking a picture. He's up with the fans.
He's sitting in the stands.
He's a backup in Washington for a football team. He is a backup on another team, and he's with the fans watching the game because he has that much love, obviously, for his time in Buffalo.
That's unbelievable. That's awesome. I love that guy.
Does he ever give you that vibe, though?
No, that he's a great guy.
I mean, he's got a workbench in his 100% has a workbench in his garage. He drinks Buffalo Trace bourbon. Like, I already know exactly everything this guy. I bet you he's exactly who we think he is. It's not shocking that if you said, name one quarterback who would go to another team, take his shirt off, and hang out with the fans, I'd have to look through all the rosters and not Keenum, not Cam, not this guy. Oh, Fitzpatrick. This would be the guy. Yeah. It would take a long time to get to that guy.
But then you'd go. Oh,
but then you'd see Fitzpatrick and it'd be
so
like.
Obvious.
It's got to be Fitzpatrick.
Yeah, yeah. And yet, he's also probably the only one most likely to write a book after he's done. Let's not forget the Harvard background.
Yeah.
And, oh, by the way, don't you remember when his kid was up by the podium and when he was
a Texan?
Yeah,
he's a calculator.
Before you
The kid is a calculator.
blah, blah, blah. You know who else?
No, what did he do? Pie. He did pie, right?
No, he gave him, he said,
oh, give him any numbers, yeah.
Give me a number. All right, now you give me a number. And he looked at him and he said, hey, what?
Multiply him. Yeah.
And the kid did it. And he goes, boom, and just walked off.
Don't wow. you remember that?
Holy crap. I mean, that kid that he did that with is 12 now. That would have been.
He was 8, I think, at the time.
5 years ago?
Yeah.
Probably 7. It would have been 2014.
Is a living calculator.
2015?
Living,
yeah.
Breathing calculator.
That is incredible. I never saw that video.
Okay. Now I have more faith in man being able to defeat robots.
Oh.
Ryan Fitzpatrick's kid.
Robots. I'm just telling you now. Robots are at least minus 2,500 right now. You bet robot. It's like betting right now, like against a female champ in UFC against some slappy who's taking
her
on.
Slappies
and
have been beating him.
Not a lot.
Yeah. Not a lot. And we might have some wins against robots, but robots will slaughter us like an MMA championship bout. We will get slaughtered by robots. That's not even going to be a fight. But hopefully I'm dead by the time my robots start slaughtering my offspring, my bloodline. But because that will happen. But you're missing out on. So you said, oh, what's Ryan Fitzpatrick is Harvard is an Ivy League scholar. That's a big deal to you, huh? Can I tell you who else is an Ivy League guy? Bill O'Brien.
Oh, Bill O'Brien is. Well,
is that the language? Is that the language of a blue blood Ivy League scholar?
Doesn't feel like it's an extensive vocabulary.
It's not my job to do that.
Well,
no, Johnny told me years. Well, Johnny Harris told me years ago. I had to tutor Billy, kind of help him out with economics back in the day, because Johnny Harris played sideline reporter and went to school with Bill O'Brien.
Mm-hmm.
They played football together. And I think Johnny was one of the smart ones.
Oh, Johnny!
Billy was there because of football.
Yeah.
Although you got to be somewhat smart, I think, to get in.
You absolutely do.
You got to be smart.
You got to be smart enough. I mean, the hardest thing in those schools is getting in. Then they let you succeed after that.
Oh, okay.
So there's that. We've got at the bottom of the hour, Mike Rice is going to join us, NFL, ESPN, NFL Nation reporter. He covers the Patriots, and we'll get the lowdown on what he thinks of Gerard Mayo, Josh McDaniels, what's going on there, and anything else that's Patriots. They had a rough one. There's no question about that. I'm not sure after that one you want anything to do with anyone on the Patriots defensively. I will say this, Bill Belichick had a bit of a comeback. Their last offseason, what they did with all the free agent money that they spent, and you had to give it to them the year before, the COVID year. Tom Brady goes into Tampa, wins the Super Bowl. Bill Belichick had a bunch of opt-outs. Mm-hmm. I mean, more opt-outs than anybody else.
7 on defense.
He had Cam Newton, 7 quarterback. Starters. And the thought was, well, you know what, Brady. Look at Brady, and now look at Belichick. It was Brady all of those years. Well, Bill Belichick said, well, watch this. Went and got a lot of good players. A lot of the guys opted back in. He went with a rookie quarterback who looked pretty good. You had to give him credit for all of that. But if I'm Brady and I'm watching that game on Saturday night and I'm seeing what's happening to that Patriots team, I'm like, and not even Brady could have helped that situation, though, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, or is it a different organization because Tom Brady's there?
No, Brady couldn't have done anything about that. That Buffalo was on a roll. They couldn't have scored with.
Would Buffalo have had that same swagger against the Patriots?
Brady would have caught an ass kicking. Yeah, I think so. Buffalo is. You got to remember now. Buffalo is built independently now of anything having to do with New England. I don't think Brady makes any difference. Brady can't. If you tell me Brady's worth 40 points,
not 40 points, a different attitude. I mean,
you could have all the attitude you want. You could stop Josh.
Well, maybe they wouldn't even have been up in Buffalo if Brady was there.
Maybe, but you couldn't stop Josh Allen.
No.
I mean, Josh Allen was just wrecking shop.
You see his numbers the last two games against the Patriots?
It's pretty serious.
And somebody said, look how old Belichick is now. Look at the Bills, the way that they're built. The Dolphins are up-and-coming team as well. Are we done watching Bill Belichick in the NFC East? Is he going to get another NFC East title? AFC East title?
He might. I mean, that's awfully quick to... I think Ramondre Stevenson and Damian Harris, I think he's got a good young rush attack. They still need to add to the wide receiving core. Mac Jones is a young quarterback who appears to get it and appears to be pretty talented. I wouldn't count Bill Belichick out just yet. I'm not sure that Miami, we talk about Miami being up and coming, and that's fine, but I'm still not all in on Tua yet now. I'm not sure. Yeah. Let's see how he does. Buffalo looks like a team that's pretty solid, though. They look like they're pretty firmly planted with their feet in the air. And I think it's going to be tough just to beat them. You would think maybe the Jets would get it going at some point, but when are the Jets? The last time the Jets were a factor, we were doing shows on 1560. Like, it's been a long time since the Jets were a factor in this division. But I don't want to write him out yet. Somebody did ask him about if he's still coaching, and like, yeah.
Now, I wouldn't be surprised at all, though, if he isn't going to do maybe this another year, and then go, I'm done. I can't do this anymore. It won't be long anyway, I don't think. Bill Belichick is going to be out of the – I'm sure he doesn't want to go out like this, though. That's for sure. When we come back, 8:12 on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, let's talk some Astros baseball. There's something going on here.
Do you have something good to tell us?
Yeah, I don't know that a bunch of people will be happy about what I tell you, but I'm really starting to see over and over and over again it looks like they're trending towards this, and we'll talk about it on the other side right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Right now, though, I'm talking about HRNP and my peeps over at HRNP. And if you're looking for the best way to get into this payroll thing, payroll and HR, it's HRNP. Customizing a plan for your business. Not everyone is the same. And they'll do this. And this is a great time. You'll see what your payroll company is. Or if you don't have a payroll company, you're still doing it yourself. Are you doing the Affordable Care Act right? Because they are at HRNP. They have Affordable Care Act experts. And they said before, they told me before, hey, tell people that if they're having problems with the Affordable Care Act to just call us. Because even if, I know they're not our clients, but we'll help them out. Because that's the way that that's how they are. And Mike Holly and Chris and Kevin and Chad Plot, all the guys over there are fantastic. And what they're going to do is they're going to get you that payroll at the best price they possibly can. Then they're going to get you the EHR as well. And then they're going to let you choose all of your other options on all your 401k and your benefits packages. If you're looking for a payroll company that's going to take care of business for you and customize it for you, that's HRNP. HRNP.net, 281-880-6525 or HRNP.net.
This is The Bench. The Bench. On ESPN 97.5.
The Bench!
Tell them again!
The Bench!
Stay tuned for more John and Lance coming up in a few minutes.
Can't wait!
The Kings are on the air. This is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
Did you happen to catch any of the highlights of Jose Siri in Lidom?
Yeah, he is. He is. He's doing big things.
He is fantastic.
The bat flip is really off to a completely
bat
different...
Flip. I mean, he does spins.
Yeah,
he dances.
There's
below your shoulder.
Choreographed. Home runs right now.
I'm surprised. He doesn't do cartwheels. I mean, that's the only thing that's lacking in his home run trot right now. He is spectacular. And by the way, he plays the Gigantes del Chibao. He plays for them, and
that means giant Chibata.
No, that's different. It's from Chibao, and he plays for the Giants. Yeah, but they're from Chibao.
But Chibao means is Chibao, Spanish for Chibata.
No, well, it's different.
It's called Pan Chibao.
Well,
that's Portuguese. Right. Pan Chibao means Chibata bread.
Okay,
probably.
He hit well in the 33 games. He hit 5 homers, 10 RBIs. And I think he's still running around the bases. And this was back in December. So I think he's still Cadillacing. And we're in January already. But that's not what I want to talk. I want to talk about Jeremy Pena. Jeremy Pena.
He's one of he's one of the guys we're supposed to be excited about.
He was the defensive. He was the defensive shortstop in Lidom.
Mm-hmm.
I think is it Lidom? It's the Dominican Winter League. He was the defensive shortstop. right? He won the Gold Glove as, in their little in their month long league. He is the I've seen plenty of there was one players on the rise players to watch for the Houston Astros. It was Jeremy Peña. There is a Baseball America put out the projected 2025 lineup, and it's Jeremy Peña at short with Corey Lee at catching. Joe Perez, who I'm not familiar with, but he's an up-and-comer. They think he's going to be the first baseman. Altuve, Bregman, Chaz McCormick, Jake Myers, Kyle Tucker, and Yordan Alvarez. That's our lineup in 2025.
Yeah.
I could see that. You know this organization.
What is
though,
stuff I'm not going to like,
get
though?
A big name free
agent. What am I not going to like?
You know,
what do you
I think it's time to start Jeremy Peña now.
Oh.
I think it's time to start the Jeremy Peña train. Listen.
In other words, you can stop the Carlos train and start the Jeremy Peña train.
Listen.
Carlos is getting his money. For people who think Carlos isn't going to get his money, Carlos is going to get his money. I will predict Carlos gets $300
million. I don't doubt that. Carlos will not be here.
None of this is about... Okay.
None of this is about that. What this is about is, and I know people are going to be very disappointed because they want that big name. I think Jeremy Peña has a chance. Listen, best tools, best defensive infielder in the Astros organization is Jeremy Peña. Best infield arm is Jeremy Peña.
Why are you saying
you're not? Because that, I'm saying
that,
this
that Carlos is not going to be here. Why are you saying those kind of things?
Because I don't believe Carlos is going to be. I know Jim Crane isn't coming up with 7 or 8 years. I just know that. He's not.
If he ain't going to do it for Carlos, he's not doing it for anybody.
No, he's not doing it for
at
anybody.
Any point.
And oh, by the way, I don't think he wants to hit $35 million or $36 million.
I would
for
not count on any great Astro being a lifelong Astro under Jim Crane. It's just.
Well, Jose Altuve. Don't forget, Jim Crane extended Jose Altuve.
Yes, but it was. I'm talking about born and bred Astros organization. Maybe.
Well,
maybe
he has to continue to play poorly because if he plays really, really well, he's not getting he's not going to get that $40 million deal that he might be looking for.
No.
So if
no.
he plays poorly, he's got a good chance to be here.
But if you are going to play the game as though you're going to get 8+ years, then the Astros aren't going to play that game.
No, they're not playing that game. They're
ever.
Just not.
I don't see ever. Carlos is young.
Yeah.
Carlos is young. If they're not going to do it with Carlos,
well,
they're not
where
ever
we're
going
find
to do
out.
It.
Where we're going to find out is we're going to find out with Kyle Tucker. That's where we're going to find out. Because Kyle Tucker is going, when he's up, Kyle Tucker is going to want to have a long-term big deal. In 2025, he'll be 28 years old. He'll be ready to start getting his money, get paid his money. So we'll find out. And Yordan. Yordan's another one that we're going to find out with. They're both the same age, and we're going to find out whether or not Jim Crane is going to play the major league game of long-term, big deal
contracts.
He's
not. What they'll do is probably something similar to Bregman, where you give him the money a little earlier, and maybe you hope to do it 6 years. Maybe you try to get a longer contract after maybe team control 3, team control 4. You got to be careful because you don't want it to get too close to free agency or they're going to turn it down.
Well, I don't know. You know what? Bregman better start hitting, or this contract that he's got now, he's going to make over 30 this year.
Yeah.
He better start hitting. Otherwise, Jim Crane's going to go, you see?
Swaggy.
I just gave him 5 when
back.
He was in second year in the league.
Do you remember he said the injuries are back
well,
and he's back?
I'm hoping Swaggy's back. I'm hoping that. But I'm going to tell I really think it's Jeremy Peña time. Everything that I've seen, everything that that I've read about Jeremy Peña, it says, you know what? You're not going to lose. There's a lot of major league shortstops out there. You may not be losing much at all with Jeremy Peña defensively. Now, the question is whether or not Jeremy Peña is going to be able to hit major league pitching. But he certainly looks the part. And he certainly defensively looks like he can step in. And while he's not Carlos Correa, because guess what? Nobody in the big leagues is Carlos Correa. It's not like you're going to be losing. You're not losing that big a step. You're not losing that big a step with Jeremy Peña. I wouldn't be surprised at all if come in opening day.
I hope that's what you, I mean, but you haven't even seen. How are you saying all this?
Because everything that I read and everything.
Right. I mean, let's see what it looks like in real life.
Baseball experts.
Carlos is the greatest shortstop that I've ever seen defensively from a range, arm, consistency standpoint. And I know, look, we both watched Gary Templeton. We watched Ozzie Smith. And we've seen some really good shortstops over the years. But when it comes to his arm, his ability to make double play turns that are rockets, that the 5.5 to take that 5.5 hole and throw it with a plant, either plant and gun or quick release, one hop into the, you know, to beat the runner. Like, Carl, we take for granted, maybe to an extent. I mean, we recognize it as being a great play. I think we take for granted how elite that is, yeah. And how really it's a unicorn in this organization. And the Astros have been an organization that's focused on defense at shortstop forever, even when you wish they wouldn't have. But what Carlos does is just not normal by major league standards.
No, he's the best. He's the best. It's not even arguable. But I think there's somebody in the system. I mean, I'm looking at everything that I've seen. Best defensive infielder, Jeremy Pena. Best infield arm, Jeremy Pena. I don't think you're going to – and I think, you know, the organization is going to take some heat because you lose Carlos Correa and you're going to replace him with a rookie. I have a feeling that it might – and it's – listen, they're not going to give Trevor Story – and please don't give Trevor Story a big long-term deal.
No.
When you could have paid Carlos a little bit more.
No.
Because Trevor Story –
you'll piss the fans off.
Oh, my gosh.
Don't do it.
You know, and not only that, that's a bigger risk. The dude never hits on
the
road.
He can't hit on the road. Jeremy Pena, cheap. Go with, be ready to pay Yordan, be ready to pay Tucker. Let's be smart. Pay the good players. Don't play guys. Does that sound like something Jim Crane would do, though? Pay a guy who hits 600 OPS on the road?
No.
Away from Colorado?
No. I'm saying this. Go get a center fielder.
All right. That's fine.
Get a proven guy. Myers won't be ready. It doesn't look like at the beginning of the season.
Is it that bad?
It was that bad. It doesn't look like he's going
to
be ready.
How about they had him out there throwing throws afterwards to see if he was able to make a throw? Like, ooh, I don't know about this.
And, Chaz McCormick. Chaz McCormick and Jake Myers stepped up as rookies. And Siri as well. And they came in here and what they did. And don't forget, there's Pedro León that's still in the organization. That needs a little bit, obviously, some more seasoning, but that guy is ahead. I think you get a Michael Brantley kind of guy to play center field for a couple of years.
Yeah, I mean, if you can find a Michael Brantley kind of guy, I'd love to have that. You just said the magic words.
Yeah.
I don't know if you're going to find Uncle Mike. Well, that guy was a great hitter when you got him from Cleveland. I mean, he was a great hitter when you got him from there.
Well.
And so it's not like you didn't know that you were getting a really good hitter. There was just some injury concerns.
I'm going to trust my boy Jim Click for a while, okay?
All right.
I call him Jimmy.
I don't distrust Jimmy Click, but the one thing that you said that really hit home was you can't pay Story and let Carlos walk. You can't do
that. No, you can't do that. Can't do it.
That is really going to be
a
bad look with the fans. They will not be happy. Don't pay somebody else for work that your guy did.
Yeah, and deserves here. And you know what he is.
But being fiscally responsible, I'm with that. I think you do have to, in this day and age, you're going to have to figure out when you're going to have to go more than you like. And I think Carlos is worth considering it. And if some suitors fell off, then that would maybe put the Astros in the mix. And I think you should consider an 8-year contract for Carlos if you knew you could lock in. But if it still can't get it done, then it's time to move on. You don't spend any. I think you do make Carlos a serious offer at some point.
Well, 8, you know what? You're going to have to go on per. You're going to have to go up per year. And I don't think you're setting a dangerous precedent
if you
by
did,
going 35, 36, 37. No,
I think you offer Carlos 8, 250, and that means you're very serious because you don't even want to offer 8. If you go 8, 250, you're over $30 million a year. You're 8 years, and you're saying, look, we think this is an amount that is a very fair amount based on all things considered. I think 8, 250 is a very fair offer. Just because you can't get to a bad contract offer is not Jim Crane's fault.
No.
You know, 10, 340 million, that's a terrible deal for a team. That's just too much risk. There's too much risk involved.
And how much do you need, Carlos? Honestly, 250 million, honestly. 713-780-3776. Oh, actually, when we come back, we've got Mike Rice going to join us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. So don't you go anywhere. In the meantime, I don't know if Mike was All-State, but you are.
All-State Siding and Windows. I am a client. I can tell you that. They handled all my siding issues on both sides of my house, and we had to get that ugly stuff ripped out of there. And they do such an amazing job keeping the actual job site very clean, getting the job done very, very quickly, very, very effectively and efficiently. But I got to tell you right now, this cold weather, it's bothering some of you because you've got old, leaky windows, and it's time to replace those old aluminum windows with some solid, beautiful windows from All-State Siding and Windows. They're made in Texas, and All-State windows are energy efficient. They're built for Texas tough weather, whether it's the heat, the wind, the excessive cold. It's all covered, and you can keep your home warm all winter long and protected, and your electric bill lower with these windows from All-State Windows and Siding. Call them today, 832-204-1936. That's 832-204-1936. For an appointment for your free window inspection today, and you're going to get 25% off your windows and for a limited time, no interest for 36 months when you mention ESPN. And they've got discounts for military, senior citizen, cash discounts are all available. For the best rate, call Allstate Windows and Siding, 832-204-1936.
Hello! To call into the HR&P listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Disappointed by your HR and payroll technology? Maybe you need to outsource your administration. Go to HRP.net to learn more. Welcome back to The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
8:32 on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. John and Lance, Mike Reese joining us now. ESPN NFL Nation reporter covering the New England Patriots. Let's talk, well, because we're Patriots South here, so we got to find out what's going up there, going on up there in Texans North. Mike, welcome to the show. How are you doing,
John and Lance? I'm doing well. Sort of transitioning into the off season here after that beatdown.
Man.
Saturday night out in Orchard Park, New York. Unexpected ending for the Patriots.
So before we get into all of that, Mike, what is it really like asking Bill Belichick questions? What is it really like to cover him and have to bite your tongue or, you know, watch every word you say around him?
Well, so the one thing, so I always say, I get this question a lot, actually, because I've been doing it for a while. You know, the first thing I would just highlight what I think is one of the best parts of covering Bill Belichick and his teams is a lot of high-level football. Like, you learn a lot about football just from covering him and talking to him about the game. Now, I know what you're saying. You're talking about some of the awkward, uncomfortable moments in the post-game news conferences, and that's all fair. For me, like, I just try to be as on point as possible with the wording of each question. Mm-hmm. And that gets very challenging, you know, when you're asking follow-ups that maybe aren't as scripted, you know, as you might be able to do when you have time to think about what you're going to ask. And look, none of us are perfect, and you try the best you can, and sometimes you get your head bitten off. That's part of the gig, right?
It is what it is, and I thought that someone asking basically if Bill wanted to continue coaching was like, well, that's a brave question to ask at a time like that. But it is an interesting situation right now because John asked me the question earlier, Mike, is this it for New England as the bully on the block? I mean, is this official with what's happened and the way Miami is coming up? But I'm not quite ready to just write off New England just yet. I mean, I know this is a really, really bad game, but I feel like they're not at the end. They've made moves that, frankly, have them have a window open for them.
Well, I agree with you, Lance. I mean, I would say this is far from the end. And if you don't mind, I just want to go back to the whole point about Bill and coaching. Because, like, when you're with the team every day, or in this case, for 22 years covering Bill, one of the things that he always says, guys, is like, every year is a new year. And you start with a blank slate, and you don't take anything for granted. And so I think for Bill, the question was, hey, you're talking as if, like, you want to do this again. He turns 70 in April, and he had once said, like, I'm not going to be like Marv Levy coaching into my 70s. And so I thought, like, the question to Bill, when you sort of add that context, I think it's not like a harsh question. It's just more like a, hey, it's the right time to sort of make sure we're still on track here and that you still want to do this, right? And I think he took it that way. That was sort of my interpretation of it. And then big picture, guys, like Patriots, like so much changes from year to year in the NFL, and I think the fact that they feel good about Mac Jones, the quarterback, like that's the key piece. And I think now they can sort of build around that, both offensively and defensively. And I think they're right in the mix next year with a good offseason.
So Mike Reese, Patriots reporter for ESPN, with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. So, Mike, tell us about Jerod Mayo. He appears to be the front runner for the Houston Texans head coaching job. In your opinion, is he ready for that kind of position?
Well, I would say I don't know how you could say yes, because these jobs are incredibly hard. I don't know if anyone is ready for these jobs, right? So start with that. I want to tell you my background with Jerod. Was covering the team when he got here, 2008, as a first-round draft pick out of Tennessee, a linebacker. And I followed his playing career. I followed him when he retired and went into the business world. And I've been covering him since he's been back as an assistant coach for the last three seasons. 35 years old and one of the most elite leaders of people, teammates, you know, just in general, like a very good human is probably the way I would sum up Jerod Mayo. So start with that, and then, you know, you can get into, like, is he ready to be a head coach? Like, I think that's an impossible question to answer.
But, listen, Nick Caserio, one of the things that he said was, we have to have a great leader. And it appears that it points to Jerod Mayo, because as a player, he was a captain. And now as an assistant coach here, he appears to have all of those leadership and follow me kind of skills as well. You've covered him for so long and said, you know, what kind of leader he was for all of those guys. I think that was a kind of a big statement by Nick Caserio in his press conference on Friday.
Everything that you just said means this is why Mayo is, to us, at least, Mike, the favorite, because they want leadership and they want somebody who can galvanize both sides of the locker room. I think that's really what they want. And if you're telling us that he has that, which shouldn't be a surprise. I mean, he was the man in the middle for the Patriots, and, you know, highly regarded by, and Bill Belichick, if you know anything about his team building, it's, and obviously you do, Mike, it's all about finding the smart players, the guys who are football smart, who are tough, who are dependable, reliable, all the things that you would want to, where multiple, he wants multiple players to have the makeup of being a captain at any time on defense. And those are the same qualities that you want from head coaches. So it doesn't surprise, it shouldn't surprise that Jerod Mayo is one of the guys that should be a front runner.
And so a couple more things to add to this, because I think this is like to be a head coach in the NFL, like look at how these jobs eat people up. And spit them out. Like, it's so unforgiving, right? And so here's something I want to relay that I want to say. It was Matthew Slater. So Matthew Slater, you know the name, is dad Jackie Slater, Pro Football Hall of Famer, played 20 years for the Rams. Matthew, the longest tenured Patriot, came into the league with Jerod in 2008.
Wow, he's
and
been
he
there
talked
that
about
long.
Jerod. What's that?
He's been there that long
he's been
as
there
a
that
special
long.
Teams ace.
That's right. Now, I want to tell you something Matthew said, because I think it's important, because he's been with Jerod from the start. He talked about, it's not just leadership. He talked about Jerod's intelligence, so he's smart. He talked about his emotional intelligence, which I think is like, okay, that's not going to light up the phone lines here on Sports Talk Radio, but it's such an important part of a dynamic job, like the job of head coach in the NFL. How do you relate to people? It's how do you relate to the owner? How do you relate to the youngest player on the roster? How do you relate to everyone in the building? Like, Jerod Mayo, A+ in that area. And that's not me saying it. This is people that have been around him from the beginning. So I think that would be one of the positive things going for him. I think, guys, the other part, though, is, like, for as big as this job is, like, he's only coached for 3 years. That's a big jump from where he is now to go into that main seat.
Hmm. Mike Reese with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 covers the Patriots for ESPN. Tell us about Josh McDaniels and his – we've seen him once as a head coach. We almost saw him again in Indianapolis as a head coach. What about now Josh McDaniels possibly being up – or is he the Patriots head coach in waiting? Which is it, Mike?
So I wouldn't say that last part. I mean, I think – you know, he's obviously very happy here, which we've seen, because he's had opportunities elsewhere and hasn't taken them. Specifically, I'm referencing that time with the Colts a few years back. I think the thing with Josh that stands out to me is, like, just X's and O's wise, like, he's got the answers. Like, he's an elite X's and O's football coach. And, like, if you want to bring along a young quarterback, which we know is so important, like, that's the guy you want doing it. So I think that's the thing I would say with him, and it's just a matter of, to me, like, he's happy here. It's got to be a perfect situation for him. I think he's learned so much from his time in Denver. Like, I would put that off to the side. Like, that's like a another chapter in his career, and I think he'd be a great choice for anyone, given that he's done it before, which I think takes away a little bit of the element of the unknown. And I think for him, it's just a matter of if he wants to take the plunge, because he's really happy with his situation.
All right, I got to ask you this, and I think you can answer this question. Here's what we've heard. Joe Judge ended up being a nightmare to work for in the building with the Giants. Bill O'Brien, we saw, you know, he had some success. Billy is not the easiest guy in a building for people to get along with, and became untenable at the end. Brian Flores, have heard some really disturbing stuff about how things ended up going down there. Josh McDaniels, the first time around, you referenced it. You say it's a different stage of his life, but he was a guy that the building didn't love. Like, this is now four different coaches that you can say, hey, they came from the Belichick tree, and they have really had problems dealing with other people in the building. Is this all a coincidence? Because it doesn't feel coincidental.
Lance, we got to add Matt Patricia, don't we?
Oh, yeah. Completely forget Matt Patricia.
Right?
Thanks.
So look, I mean, the facts are the facts, right? Like, I mean, we can't rewrite what's happened. These coaches went out. They, you know, their resume or whatever happened speaks for itself. It's a hard one for me to answer, because I think each situation is unique in and of itself. But I would say this, and I'm going to speak for myself, like, if I am hiring someone from this team, like, I'm taking a long, hard look at that, and I have to have assurances that the guy I'm hiring is going to not go down that path. And that would be, I'm going to put myself in Houston's situation with Gerard. Like, what's going to make Gerard different? Can Gerard be more like Mike Vrabel, who is a little bit of a different situation, because he actually wasn't an assistant coach with the Patriots, but he played here. This is where he really started his career, right? But I think he's one of the best coaches in the league. And I would sort of say he's sort of half Patriot. So look, there's no black and white. It's no, like, easy right or wrong answer, but it's hard to deny, like, that's the facts. Everything you mentioned, Lance.
How much, Mike Reese, ESPN reporter for the Patriots, been there for forever, how much interaction did you have with Jack Easterby, and what do you think about, because he certainly has a reputation, and it got around nationally, it's not just here. What do you think about Easterby and what's going on with him here in Houston?
So, guys, I didn't have much interaction with Jack, because the way they set it up here in New England, like, it's, I don't want to say it's like a one-voice system, but really, you know, it's Bill Belichick, and we hear from the assistants, but the support staff you don't hear from or really, you know, connect with as much. I would say my connection with him was probably more through the players, who viewed him as, like, a guy who was unifier of the players in the locker room, sort of an uplifting, spirited presence. Faith was a big part of it, and probably stop there, guys. I mean, what he's doing down in Houston is, like, seems a lot different from my experience or what I saw he was doing up here in New England, which was really more as like a character coach, sort of mentoring, you know, bring light to the locker room type of guy.
Mm-hmm. I think he's doing a lot of that same stuff now. He got maybe, I think, out over his skis with Bill O'Brien.
Way, way over his skis. And Bill O'Brien, and listen, Bill Belichick said it previously when asked about Jack. He had a lot of good things to say. He said he's not a football guy.
He's not
a, and he tried to be a football guy, and it had horrible consequences. By the way, we've got an agent listening to the show who said, oh, also, Eric Mangini would like a little piece of that
list.
Well,
and so would Charlie Weiss.
That you mentioned before. It was Charlie tough to get along with?
You talk about arrogant. Charlie Weiss was...
All right, but before we let you go, I do want to get to Nick Caserio for a second, because Nick is a guy who doesn't give answers to questions at all. I mean, it's frustrating to me, because I think there's a level of honesty you can have without divulging sensitive information. Did you find that to be the case when you covered him, that it was a word salad? Every question became a word salad answer that really didn't provide much insight into anything?
Good question. You know, so similar to Jack a little bit, like Nick wasn't really front and center most of the time, you know, so we actually didn't have like a lot of the same interactions that you're having in Houston. I will say this, like, just from a, like, take away, like, the journalism side of it, the reporting side of it, like, a gem of a human being, like, just a really good man. And so a lot of my interactions with him, guys, were more on the personal side.
Okay.
And you know what I mean? Like, and to me, that's a whole different, it's a different dynamic. And in a lot of ways, I would draw maybe a little bit of a parallel to Bill Belichick, who, when he's in, you know, in front of the microphone, I think it's probably a little bit of a different situation when he's speaking as head coach and sort of the runner of the show here in New England than when maybe you're talking to him off to the side.
That's Mike Reese, Patriots reporter for ESPN right here, giving us some insight on what we can expect in the future, because there's no doubt in any of our minds, Mike, that the Texans' next head coach comes from New England. There is zero doubt. They're the huge, huge favorites to come here, either Gerard Mayo, Brian Flores, or Josh McDaniels. We shall see. We appreciate your insight on this, Mike. Thanks for your time.
All right. Thanks for having me, guys. Good luck with it all.
All right.
Thanks,
848
Mike.
ESPN, 97.5.
That's really good stuff.
92.5.
Really good, insightful stuff from Mike.
Gerard, especially the Gerard Mayo stuff.
Yeah.
Time for me to talk about. And you were talking about good people. He was just talking about good people. I'm telling you, the Chastangs are great, great, great people. Joe and Patrick have taken on. Now, this is going on for 80-plus years in the Chastang family, selling cars in the city of Houston. And maybe you didn't know their name before. If you're a listener to the show, you know their name now, obviously, because we've been talking about them for a while now. But it's not like they did any advertising. And yet they were the number one commercial dealer for Ford in the city of Houston. How does that happen when you spent so little on marketing and so little? You know what? How it happened? It's word of mouth. Hey, you want to get a great deal here? A car that they're going to deliver what they say that they're going to deliver at a great price with the best service. What more could you possibly want if you're a businessman? That's what you're looking for. Customizing exactly for you. And now all of those things are true, and they've been true on the retail side, but they're becoming bigger and bigger and bigger on the retail side as well, hopefully in large part because of you. Look, if you're looking for that Ford car or truck, there's one place to go and get it. It's from the best in the business, the nicest. No dealer add-ons. Customize it how you want it, not how they want it, at Chastang Ford. ChastangFord.com. That's on Homestead, not Hempstead. Just 5 minutes from downtown on 610. It's Chastang Ford.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5. The godfather of Houston sports radio, the preeminent NFL draft analyst. You found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Short segment here. Have you been seeing this pop up on your tweets? This.
Oh, the Adidas thing?
No.
Where, once you talk about something, then once you have a conversation... And I know I'm not the only one, because we all talk about this. You have a conversation in a room somewhere, and all of a sudden those commercials and stuff start populating your phone. Like, hey, This can't be this.
No,
that's I know you're listening.
That's not
no,
what
I haven't seen this.
You haven't seen any of this?
Ellen
Yellow
K.
squares
Powell.
And green, green.
Wordle. Wait a minute.
Wordle.
So I just saw my guy,
I'm seeing
Cody
this.
Edgar, had a tweet that said something about doing Wordles in his bed at 11 o'clock. I went, what the hell's a Wordle? What is this?
Yeah. It's Wordle apparently is sweeping the nation.
Is it the new Squid Game?
It's
do you get killed if you don't do your Wordle correctly?
You could.
By the way,
man, that would be pretty
you
good.
You watch Squid Game, right?
Yeah.
Downstairs at Tom and Tom's Coffee?
Yeah.
They've got the little cookies that you trace out. It's a Korean coffee shop. They've got, you know, the cookies with the umbrella,
yeah.
The star? They've got them downstairs.
And you've
got
to trace
them
out?
I say we do that, the three of us and whoever, but we just do like a water balloon. I don't want to get shot in the head yet.
You don't want to get shot in
Not
the
yet.
Head? Uh-huh.
Wait until the robots start doing their thing, and then, you know, I'll pick the umbrella up, break off my cookie, and, you know, what happens, happens.
Yeah, no. So I guess this Wordle thing is popping up all over. I'm seeing these. This,
you are?
And I'm like, what the hell is this?
And people are posting
it's
their Wordles?
It's green squares and yellow squares.
Hold on, man. We're going to learn stuff right here on the show.
Yeah.
What is
Wordle?
Wordle?
Oh, you're going to. No, you're going to download it on your phone right now.
Okay, first and foremost,
can you play it on your phone?
713-780-3776.
Does anybody know what Wordle is?
Yeah, somebody
does. It's
too
bad that Tyler's not here early enough yet because he's been posting it like daily, so he probably knows better.
Why are we posting this? Wordle, why so many people are obsessed with the new online game? Wordle and Wardle team up to donate proceeds from an unrelated app's popularity.
So I don't know.
How a group of Twitter colleagues blew up Wordle.
Word cross. No, we want Wordle. I'm getting it right now. I'm going to download it.
So this is from their website. It's not an app, I don't think. I think it's just a website. And when you go to, when you Google it, it says.
Well, I got the app. I'm downloading it right now.
Oh, okay.
Are you sure it's the right one?
I don't know.
And that's not some kind of.
I have no idea.
And that's not some kind
like
of.
A Flappy Bird knockoff?
Yeah. Or maybe some kind of Trojan variant that is downloading into your phone and taking all of your golf pictures.
Not what now?
And stealing them and posting them somewhere in China.
You
sure?
You think that. I have no, everyone, no, I don't know.
Wordle, a daily word. So here it is. Look, wow. Here I am. I'm officially on. Just Googled Wordle, and I'm officially playing now.
You're playing now?
I guess I'm going to be addicted.
Okay, yes. I mean, now guess what? Now no player.
Each game must
yeah,
use a valid.
Yeah, that player's great, whatever.
Each game must.
But I did win Wordle today.
I have no time to spare anymore. I've killed off so much time. Each guess must be a valid five-letter word. Hit the enter button to
what
submit.
What is the yellow one?
After each guess, the color of the tiles will change to show how close your guess was to the word.
Michael's going to explain it. Michael, what is Wordle?
Michael, what is Wordle?
Michael, you there? He's not there. Anyway. Hello. Oh, here he is. Hey, Michael.
Yo, hey. All right, so here's the deal. Do not download the app. You have to do it through your browser on your phone.
Yeah.
Oh, you have to do it through the browser. I downloaded the app.
So apparently,
is the app going to blow up my phone or something?
Maybe.
Correct, yeah. So apparently the person who made the app, he's scamming. I don't know. Like it's like a scam. But so the game is, it's like a crossword puzzle. You have five chances, and it's divided by lines. Like you have like five tries. And basically, you start out with a five-letter word, like any word, and it'll tell you what letter is correct. Like, if you get a correct letter in the correct place, it'll be green. But if you get the correct letter in the wrong place, it'll be yellow.
So, hold on.
And then
is this just
wait
like...
A minute, you got it. Wait, if you get a yellow letter, it's what? It's in the word, but it's not in the right spot?
It's in the word, but not in the right spot.
I gotcha.
So, this sounds like a lot like Pat Sajak and Vanna White.
Very close. Very... No, I did it for the first time on Friday, and every night at midnight, a new puzzle comes about.
And what's the green mean?
So the green means it's the correct letter in the correct spot. And the yellow means it's the correct letter, but not in the right spot. So you basically have to go down one, you know, row by row until you get, you know, and then you only have five tries.
Oh, and then the black letter means it's nothing.
Correct, and then also by the time you get down to your third or fourth try, it'll start eliminating letters that are not in the puzzle, and it'll black them out on your keypad, like when you enter them, So it makes it a little bit easier.
So I know now that I put weary. I know W, A, and Y are not in the word, and E and R
correct.
Are. Oh, I put the E in back in the – oh, I got it. I'm messing up.
Hey, draft question.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sorry to switch gears. So Texans, do you draft for need or best available?
Because best available.
Honestly, they're probably going to trade. Best available?
Best right. available because beautiful. Best available and need are the same thing for them. They're in that rare, horrible position where every position is a need. So you just go best available. You can't tell me a player. Now, I don't have a problem with trading back or stuff like that, Michael, but you just can't tell me that if you draft at this point right now, you need to find teams have different names for them. They may call them blue players, gold players, whatever. But they're basically your top core players, the J.J. Watts, the DeAndre Hopkins, the Deshaun Watsons, guys like that. They need those guys badly. So right now you're just trying to draft as many of those guys as you can at any position. It almost doesn't matter. You've got positions that are the most needed positions, but honestly, I don't see a position other than your quarterback spot where you don't have one of those quarterbacks in this draft anyway, where you wouldn't consider drafting and running back too, where you wouldn't consider drafting that kind of high-end player. I was talking to a guy who is interviewing for a couple different GM positions. He just interviewed for one and is interviewing for another, and we talked about, you know, the Giants job, for example. They've got two first rounders and how to approach those two first round picks. It was an interesting discussion with somebody who's actually got a chance to be the one pulling the trigger for those jobs. And basically what I came away with is Houston can't go wrong in the sense that you just want to evaluate the talent, right? No matter who you pick, they're going to be an important part of your team moving forward. So 9 o'clock here. On John's officially in on Wordle. It's over. The show is over. So we will replay our interview with Mike Rice for the next three segments, and then News of the Weird will be coming up next. And then maybe some Squid Game.
We can do
I can go
game.
Down and get the Tom and Tom thing.
Yeah.
We can do that too. I can already tell this Wordle. I don't even want to play it because I already know
I messed up
that it's going to ruin my draft work. I have stuff I have to get done. I can't afford this.
All right. 713-780-3776 if you want to get in here. Because I messed up and I can't go back. Now, you can't ever go back on a letter. I don't know. It's 901. It's time for me to talk about mybookie.ag promo code bet975. Look, you're looking for a great way to play and win and get paid. How about if you refer a friend, you get $250. You want to do that? Yeah. Do you want to win and get paid? Yeah, of course I do. That's what I want to do. How about getting bonuses when you deposit money? Yeah, I want to do that as well. If you're looking for a great way to win, get paid, it's a refer a friend and get paid, deposit money, get paid, all of these things. Now, it is a wonderful time right now. We got the NFL playoffs. How much did you bet this weekend? How much did you win? Because everybody won. The bookies lost. My bookie is taking a beating right now. And if you're not taking advantage of it, I don't know what the heck is wrong with you, because Super Wild Card Weekend has been a blood fest. And they don't care. You know what? They're like, come on, come get some. NHL, NBA, college basketball. Right now is a great time for all of these things and more. You want to play casino? You got it. You want horse racing? You got it. Everything you could possibly want, all at mybookie.ag. Promo code BET975.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
I don't blame it, Don.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save